Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Trish, I'm a bit discombobulated by something I heard about a couple.
Oh, was it very rude?
No.
Was it disturbing? What was it?
It is disturbing. And I think if I tell you it with your need for rituals and regularity of life...
Yeah.
Can't have a dirty martini, has to have the other one because it's a bit upsetting for you. There is a couple, they exist in the world, but when they go to bed at night, they decide there and then which side to sleep on.
Impossible.
No, it's true. No. They don't have a set side. So I recently shared a bed with a girlfriend of mine, very close friend of mine, at Cheltenham Literary Festival. Did I tell you I went to do?
You did. You dropped that one. Don't worry. Yes, we got that one last week.
We had to share a bed and we had a moment because I said, well, I always sleep on the left. And she said, well, so do I. And we sort of stood there for 10 minutes looking at it, wondering who was going to be...
Oh, who backed down? Did you just jump on the bed and claim it?
She backed down, obviously.
Oh, she did. Of course she did. Well, I'm never sharing a bed with you, is all I can say.
You are left sider.
Definitely. I'm on the right side at the moment, but every year or so I might shake it up and then we might swap sides.
Oh, no, hold on. I'm a right sider, aren't I? If you stand and look at the bed, I'm on the right side. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, if you look at the bed, I'm on the left side. So I'm lying in the bed, I'm on the right side.
This is the kind of conversation our parents had and we would walk out of the room sitting, isn't it? Yeah, anyway, so these people exist, Trish. These people exist.
They do. Well, crazy people. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Postcards from Midlife. I'm Trish Halpin.
And I'm Lorraine Candy, and we're on a mission to help you make the most of your magnificent midlife. We'll be tackling everything from mind and body wellness to HRT and your sex drive. Trish and I are here to help you have a stylish second act and answer all your midlife questions on fashion, beauty, careers, relationships, family, and as always, the challenges and joys of parenting teens.
We're feeling very bouncy today, aren't we, Lorraine? Because we are celebrating some fabulous news that is going to improve the lives of millions of women. And we're also saluting some small everyday wins that make life that little bit more joyful too.
Yes. So we're going to kick off this episode by saying a huge thank you, not just to all of you, but everyone outside who supported the MP Carolyn Harris's campaign and her private members bill to get HRT free for women in England. Now, many of you wrote to your MPs, shared the campaign on social media, and the result was that last Friday, as we record this, the government agreed to reducing HRT prescriptions to a single prescription per year. So it's not free, but it is one prescription per year. So that means an annual fee of £9.35 for all your hormones, rather than how women pay now, which is we pay roughly that per quarter. And if some of us have two hormones, we pay double it per quarter. So that's just down to an annual prescription. They're also going to create a task force, which, as Carolyn says, will look at all other areas of support which are currently falling short and failing women. And Carolyn herself is actually calling for a menopause check for all women over 40. Now, we're still waiting for details of the timeline on the prescription charge change, and we will bring that news, obviously, as soon as it happens. But you, Trish, were in Parliament Square last Friday, weren't you, with Carolyn and all those menopause warriors. What was it like?
Oh, I was. It was so brilliant. It was so brilliant. We were all gathered under that really amazing statue of the suffragette leader Millicent Fawcett by Gillian Wearing for a rally after the debate that Carolyn held in Parliament, which we also watched on the TV. And it was so brilliant to meet so many women that we've been working with here at Postcards from Midlife to bring about awareness and change for us menopausal women. There was Dr. Louise Newson, Davina McCall, Diane Danzebrink, Karen Arthur from Menopause Whilst Black, and the team from the Menopause Charity, and of course, Carolyn and the other MPs who supported the bill.
I know, it was quite exciting. I watched it live, the debate, and there were several men involved as well in the debate in Parliament, which I thought was great. And there was massive reaction on our Facebook group. Now, there's a lot more to do. So little me and little Trish are still going to be banging the drum for better training for GPs. We still want to see workplace policies for the menopause. And that's not just turning the heating down. That's looking after women as they suffer from the other perimenopause symptoms. We just want it to be better for women as they go through this transition. I mean, imagine if we all had a health check at 40 or 45, specifically about the menopause or perimenopause. Mm. It would change lives. I do want to thank the wonderful women on the Facebook community because they're there now. And a lot of women are asking about treatment following reading about the news of the bill. And there was a lot of brilliant coverage, actually, and really accurate coverage in the papers last week, which is so refreshing because God knows when we started this podcast nearly 2 years ago, the stuff that was going in the national papers was really worrying. Yeah. But now, because of all the noise that Carolyn has made, these pieces are really good. So we had a lot of women on the Facebook group asking what to ask their GPs. And we also had a few women this week who said that they'd gone back to their GPs and refused antidepressants that they've been prescribed and asked about HRT based on the stuff they'd read this week, which I just think is really amazing. I mean, I could not love Carolyn and her relentless energy anymore.
I know. It's brilliant, isn't it? It's so good that we've got women like that out there fighting our corner in Parliament and elsewhere. But we thought we'd focus on some other little joyful things, just small wins, as we're calling them, weren't we?
Small
little
midlife goals. People.
We're small people. We don't need a lot in life.
No.
I'm just thinking about something nice that's happened this week. So I was thinking about that. And I think one of the nice things that's happened to me this week is my lovely friend Janice came around. Now, Janice, you remember from the alfalfa sprouts.
Oh,
do you
remember?
So Janice is lovely because whenever she comes
alfalfa
around.
Alfalfa Janice, as we call her.
She brings what we now call Janice's bits because she's always brings something really that is so different and so thoughtful and from the heart. So this week brought me some lemon verbena from her garden and told me how to dry it to make it into some tea, which was very nice.
I thought you were going to say to make some trousers out of it or something like that.
Lemon verbena trousers.
A new hat.
A face mask, maybe. That would be quite good. And then she also brought me this thing. She's quite into the old fermenting, which I know you're a bit of a fan of that because it's good for your guts. But she brought me this thing called honey ferment in a little jar that she'd made. And it's basically honey and ginger and turmeric and lemons and oranges. And you leave it to ferment and it all mushes down. And then you have a teaspoon of it in hot water in the winter. And it's full of vitamin C and all the good yummy things.
That is exciting.
Well, that is a lovely present, isn't it?
We've gone a bit goop on the couch show on me, but carry on.
Yes, a bit it's a bit Janice in my life. But yeah, no, it's brilliant actually. So that's sort of brought me some joy this week. That's what I felt was a little midlife win. What about for you?
Win. Well, I had a bit of a win talking to a roofing person.
Right, you're going in a totally different direction.
Well, it's small things, isn't it, in life. Storms have blown everything off the roof, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to get Terry the tiler round. And sort of due to unfortunate timing, I was the person that had to be the point person for Terry the tiler. Now, he's a very quiet man who didn't really like texts or emails and wanted to converse on the phone, old school, talking to me in a sort of whispering Terry, as I called him. And then I had to my husband did send a picture of the tiles to, you know, because he likes to be involved in these things and obviously in charge of them most of the time. And then I had to have a long chat with Terry about the roof and tiles. And I thought it was a bit of a win, actually. I was quite sensible. I mean, obviously after he'd said, you need the whole roof replaced, which is what everyone always says, isn't it? I said, well, I don't think that'd be happening, Terry, but can we talk about these things very specifically? And I felt in charge. And then later that day, Trish, I changed a very tricky light bulb. Now, I always change light bulbs. I'm not saying that that's a man's job or anything that's stupid as that. What I'm saying is that if you're vertically challenged, any job like that is tricky, isn't it? Because it was a hard one. Couldn't see. It wasn't a normal fix. And I did that on my own and I felt a bit
well done. Did you
jolly.
Have to stand on a ladder, put your glasses on to see?
No,
it?
I got a precarious stool just so that when my husband walked past, he could say, oh, well, that's not going to work. And then I went for a short dip in the sea as well, a winter dip. And it's my first November dip and it was 10 degrees. And managed to stay in about 7 minutes.
Oh,
and
wow.
I did that thing in my head where I told myself it was rubbish and I should have stayed in longer, et cetera, et cetera. And then I came out and I thought, you know what? I went in and I probably wouldn't have done last year. So that was a little small win for me as well.
A small win. Well, bravo for the small wins. But I have to say, I tell you who is not winning at midlife right now, and that's Deborah from our Facebook group, who is having a dilemma about whether her stressful job is worth it or whether she should jack it in but earn a lot less money doing her side hustle, which she says really fulfills her and she's really fulfilled by it. So that got us pondering, didn't it, about kind of time, purpose, money, and what perhaps it might be like to live a more simple but happier life with a bit of fermenting and lemon verbena. And if we could step away from the career treadmill, which we as Gen Xers seem to be chained to. So we're going to be jibber-jabbering about that, aren't we, today?
Yes, and we do have a guest. We have a wonderful guest, actually. And actually, she is going to be answering some of the questions that we get asked again and again by midlife women. Because if ever there was someone with a purpose in her midlife, it's our special guest, Nell McAndrew, the running and fitness Wonder Woman. She's going to be telling us how to get fit and stay motivated, how to make that start when you really want to start getting fit, and to make sure we feel our absolute best, whether we're climbing the career ladder, downsizing, stepping out, growing our own beetroot. Well, I won't be growing my own beetroot.
No, you leave that to me. Yes, well, I do know how you feel. So I think we should begin. This week's Jibber Jabber, as we've said, has been sparked by something that Deborah from our Facebook group said. She talks about panicking and making mistakes in her stressful job and having too much going on as she has a second career as well. And she said, this is part of her post, she said, I have two careers, the second of which is a side hustle, which seemed like a good idea, but is taking up too much headspace for little return in money terms, but heaps in personal satisfaction. I'm feeling very low and despondent and wondering if it is time to give it all up and do a job that doesn't need so much of my time and headspace. So we're not going to address the remarks that Deborah said about making mistakes and brain fog and things like that, because we were just actually really intrigued, weren't we, by that idea of the side hustle, the thing that you really like, but is it going to make you enough money? That's probably ringing a bell with you, Lorraine, because you were in this position, weren't you, yourself, not that long ago.
I think so. And it's it chimes very much with a very popular piece on the Guardian, actually, recently, on time millionaires versus millionaires, you know, that the idea, our metric is how much money we make and how successful we are, how high up we go, when actually maybe our metric should be more time to do the things we want. And there is a sort of myth thing bubbling around what they call generation resignation, isn't there? A lot of people just saying, I'm not going to do this in the same way. I mean, obviously, you know, not everyone has the privilege to do that, and we're aware of that. But if you are in that situation, I think last year I was in a very similar situation. I was doing a podcast, I was editing a weekly magazine, I was halfway through writing a book, I had four children, one of whom was leaving home, and all of the kind of work that goes into that. And just trying to do all of that, I felt I just couldn't do all of that. And I managed to get myself in a situation where I thought, this is the thing I can't do. And obviously editing was the thing I can't do. And I was lucky enough to be able to extricate myself from that. But so I think what Deborah's thinking about, and I know in a lot of the answers on the Facebook group, is change and transition. Yeah. You have to do what I call embrace radical honesty.
Ooh,
right. So not the stories you tell yourself about all the things, you know, that, you know, I have to stay in this job because I have to earn this money. Yeah. I have to stay in this job because it's absolutely tied to my identity. You've really got to sit down and think, gosh, I wonder if I wasn't. I wonder if all these stories I've told myself are not true, and perhaps a different path lays ahead for me. And I think maybe that's what Deborah's looking at here, giving herself permission and putting herself in a different mindset.
Yeah, I think a lot of Generation X women struggle with this because we've just been conditioned to know that we can have careers and we can get to the top. And we're not saying that we want women to just not do that and not stay in the workplace in midlife and beyond. But if you're a person who that is not right for, so my sister, for example, she works in education. She's done various things before, but she was just finding it too much. She had a very senior job and she just decided to go part-time. Her passion was yoga. yoga. She trained to be a yoga teacher. She does that now as her side hustle with a bit of part-time teaching. But she had to accept the fact that I will have less money. My lifestyle will change, but I will have more time. So I'm sort of forgoing money for time. Obviously got enough to live on. You know, she just wanted to really enjoy her life that wasn't always connected to money. And she said, she's recommended this book to me, actually, called The Art of Frugal Hedonism. I don't know whether you've heard it. It's a guide to spending less.
I like anything with the word hedonism.
And I like, I quite like the word frugal. I'm embracing this
word. That's the difference between the two of us, isn't it?
It's this idea, but it's a guide to spending less and enjoying life more. The premise of it is that a lot of stuff we spend money on actually makes life less enjoyable in the long run. And a lot of free stuff is actually very cheap and enjoyable. Why choose stuff that requires us to work all the time and get stressed about our bank balances? Yeah, so it's that relationship between enjoying life and spending money. And it's that, back to one of our favorite words at the moment, reframing things. Going for a walk with a friend will be just as much fun, but cost a lot less than going to a bar and drinking something. And obviously you'll go to the bar sometimes, but you don't have to go to the bar all the time, and you will kind of save money. So it's full of lots of little tips and little ways of reframing how we enjoy ourselves. And the idea is that the premise is that frugality shouldn't feel like deprivation. It's just about spending your time and seeing things differently. It's not about stuff, you know, and I've done a bit of this as well. I don't earn a fraction of what I used to earn, and we've had to think about downsizing, all of those things, but I've got time, and I'm so much happier, more relaxed about life.
It's worth, isn't it? It's what things are and what are they worth, and what's your metric of what they're worth. I think when you get to midlife, you really grapple with the value of time. Because it's very apparent you haven't got as much as you had. And actually time becomes a thing that you really talk about and what you're going to do with it. Whereas leading up to it, you sort of take it for granted a bit. So how are we going to spend our time? And if you're spending time to buy things, to make more money, to buy things, to do you want those things? Do you want to be in that place? I think there's a really good book by Martha Beck, which, I mean, she's a big American free thinker, all over Oprah, as it were. Mm-hmm. She talks about the essential self, that you have to take yourself back to who you really, really are. And then you can work out what your values are. And then you can work out how you live your life. And that's a better metric in a way, isn't it?
There's but it's difficult to do, though.
It's really hard to do,
especially if you're in a very high, I've got a friend who I saw the other day, is in a very high power job. She's in her early 50s, going through perimenopause, traveling so much, and you know, just can't conceive of cutting back, even though you can tell that she sort of wants to, but she doesn't know how to. And then what will I do if I don't do this? What will I do? Well, it's like, well, you give yourself some time to work that out, I suppose.
It's a little bit like you have to sit in the void of that for a while, and you have to let those feelings, and they're very uncomfortable, I think. And that's what I'd say to Deborah. You may give up your job, and then you're going to sit in the void thinking that was terrible. I feel terrible. I don't know what my identity is. I don't know who I am or where I'm supposed to be or what's going to happen next. But actually, like all growth, as it were, that one of those dreadful memes that came up on my Instagram, that, you know, staying where you are or being in the past is safe. It does feel very safe. But if you want to evolve and grow, you have to move forward, and you've got to go through that kind of difficult bit, which I think sometimes takes, you know, a few months, sometimes takes a few years, I think, to be honest. There is just, if you're looking at career stuff, there is a career coach called Fiona Buckland who does a questionnaire on her website. And we'll put all this on the Facebook, where you can answer questions thinking about whether your side hustle is the thing or whether it's not. But there's another good book that came out earlier this year called The Ethan Cross. He's a neuroscientist and psychotherapist, wrote about chatter inside your head. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the time we listen to this relentless chatter in our head and it's very time consuming. And it distracts us from sitting with the silence and the void and those painful feelings. So I think you are right. These things are massively difficult to do. And, you know, obviously we acknowledge we have the privilege of doing that if finance is not absolutely driving us. But it's something that's probably is worth doing, sitting with that, you know, when you step out, recognizing in advance it's going to be pretty painful. And, you know, I mean, we've both been through a couple of years of sort of it being quite painful.
Yes, we have.
You know, not really knowing and feeling hopeless. hopeless and helpless, yes. and then feeling fueled and full of energy and with a yeah. with a lust for what's
with
coming
next. With the side hustle, because this was the side hustle and we didn't know where this was going to go or what was going to happen. And it was
well, exactly.
but it was the thing that we really wanted to do.
I also think it's about asking for help, isn't it, as well? Because if you can't take any kind of big change because of your financial
yes.
commitments and needs, with your radical honesty, could you sit down and say, right, these are the things I can't do anymore. And these are
yes.
the things that are making
yeah.
the job I'm doing that I have to do to earn money difficult because I'm doing all of this in another place. So maybe there's some way of getting
yeah.
help with this or not doing this, or you know, approaching it in a slightly different way. It always helps to write it down. I am loath to recommend journaling because it sounds silly, but I do think it does come up a lot. It is worth writing it all
yeah.
down.
I think it's about simplifying at the end of the day, isn't it? Maybe what we're all after really is a slightly simpler lives. That might not, that's not necessarily financially simpler because we have
yeah.
to work, but if you're working, making things around that simpler for you, I think that could be quite good.
Good point. Simple, frugal, Trish.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This week's special guest is Nell McAndrew, a running and fitness advocate who at 47 pounds across miles of parks and pavements every week, regularly taking on major running challenges to raise money for charities such as Cancer Research UK, Alzheimer's Research UK, and even running naked bar for some body paint around Regent's Park for breast cancer awareness. The former model and TV presenter rose to fame in the 90s, fronting lingerie campaigns and men's magazine covers, as well as being the body double for gaming legend Lara Croft Tomb Raider, which celebrates 25 years this year. In 2002, she was a contestant in the first series of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, managing to stay in the Australian jungle and endure 13 days of bush tucker trials before coming fourth in the public vote. Since then, Nell has released 5 fitness DVDs and the book Nell McAndrew's Guide to Running. Today, she's taking time out to raise her 2 young children with her property developer husband, but she is still sharing her incredible fitness knowledge and goals on her Instagram channel, Nelly McFitness. If you want to see a midlife woman lifting a 44 kilo kettlebell or beasting the pull-up bar, this is the place to go. She says, just because you are older, it doesn't mean you can't be strong or fit or more successful. And today, Nell is here to tell us how we can all find our midlife fitness mojo. So welcome to Postcards from Midlife, Nell.
Thanks for having me.
I think we should start with running because that is what you are so famous for now. What was the last run you did and what did you love about it?
It was yesterday and it was to escape all the problems that I've got going on at home, waiting for a plumber to arrive and everything else. And I decided to just go for a run on the way to the supermarket, and I stopped off at the Monkey Bars and just did sort of 3 rounds of doing a few pull-ups, a few jumping squats and lunges, and then off I went, grabbed the shopping, rushed back home, and then carried on with all the. It was just like a headspace, just to try and like calm everything, just think, actually, it's out of my control, I've just got to go with it.
So running is obviously so important to your life. You've done marathons, half marathons, the Great North Run. What's been the most memorable one for you, would you say?
Well, they all have, actually. I like to say it's like my running journey. Everybody's running journey is different, and that's sort of my running journey, the people that you meet there. But my favourite ever would be the time that I ran a 2:54 at London Marathon, 2 hours and 54 minutes. I think it was because I just went in to try and do my best. I just tried to fit in running around, you know, school drop off, school pick up, you know, trying to do some work from home. Luckily, I was more home based at that point, so it was a bit easier to fit in. So I'd drop my son off at school, do one run, then make sure I did the second run on the way back to school. Never got a shower through the day, so I was a bit stinky and, you know, just lived in my fitness kit. I didn't know how it was going to go. Everything just seemed to slot into place. I felt great. And I remember I finished and I didn't even have a blister. It was such a huge boost, I think, to feel like, yes, I can do this. And I was running for charity. I had lots of support of everybody sponsoring me. It was just everything. And the time was just the icing on the cake, really. And it just made me think, gosh, I could do this and I could go even faster. But since then, I've got slower. So that's okay. That's just life.
I think to put it in context as well, is that is an athlete time. That's a qualifier time, isn't it, for a competitive marathon running? I mean, it's quite an extraordinary thing you do. We get asked a lot, how do I start? How am I going to get into this? And it's so important, fitness for midlife women. Midlife is probably the time we need exercise more than ever. Now, motivation is the key, I think. And you're very motivating to listen to and to watch on Instagram and on the website. And we've had a question from our Facebook group, and I think it probably totally sums up the thing we get asked most often. It's a woman called Jo who says, I've lost my exercise habit, put on 2 stone. I used to exercise a lot first thing before work, and now I can't even get out of bed because I feel so exhausted. My job is stressful, and I know exercise helps my mental health, but often I don't finish till 6:30 or 7 in the evening. I'm exhausted. I've got family commitments. So evening exercise isn't a priority. I guess what she's asking is, how do you fit it in? How would you advise her?
Just in the question alone, you know, it's saying a habit, and I think it's just breaking habits and making new habits. So, and think of it, breaking it down into chunks. I saw somebody suggesting thinking of exercise as exercise snacks throughout the day. You know, you have breaks, you have a coffee break, you have lunch break, but just think of it as exercise snacks. So if you're office based and you sat at a desk a lot, you know, make sure that you stand up and you move your body. You might stretch, you might do some squats, you might just do movements that really open out your chest, improve your posture, just walk up and down a little bit, you know, march on the spot, and then sit back down again and then carry on, and just getting moving. So can you walk to work? You know, can you run to work? Most of the time, actually, whenever my daughter was in swimming or ballet, I'd go for a quick run. Even if it was 20 minutes, I'd just think, well, that's the only time I've got today. That's what I'm going to do. And then I'd always feel better for it mentally. I understand lots of people really are just bogged down, you know, they've been pulled in so many different directions with family and work commitments, and they never really have time for themselves. And even if it's just 10 minute chunks throughout the day, so doing push-ups, you know, like, let's master a push-up. So you just start to work on that.
I can't do a push-up.
But you would be able to. You can.
I can, Lorraine.
Don't be silly, Trish. Of course you can.
I definitely can. My hip grid training.
You just scale it all down and just do what you
just
can do.
Just do one, isn't it? You have to start with one and then move on.
Yeah, just build it up. In the lockdown, actually, I started working on push-ups, and it was amazing the difference that I found. But also, it's about eating and sleeping. It's about everything, the whole package. So you can't just think, oh, well, I'm going to exercise and everything's going to fall into place. If you're not getting enough rest, then you're going to be too exhausted anyway. I wake up a lot every night, actually, at the moment. My sleep pattern's rubbish. So it's just getting into a habit of, when you wake up, drinking a big glass of water. So you're starting your day off with something that's good for you, and it's flushing out any toxins and getting your digestion.
I do that. I have a pint of water every morning.
Wow.
Makes me feel like I've done one good thing already.
Yeah, it's amazing how much food does affect your mood. So it's a case of really trying to just break habits and form new ones.
And do you think it's ever too late to start running? I mean, I'm into fitness and exercise, but I've never been able to run, Nell. I don't know what it is. I just tried and just failed, and it just doesn't seem to work for me. I can't get on with it at all. But I was reading about a woman yesterday, actually, who's in her 50s, started running, and now she's doing marathons and all sorts, which is just absolutely amazing. I mean, you do a lot of social runnings, heart runs and things. Do you meet a lot of sort of midlife and older women who are taking it up?
Lots. I mean, well, first of all, my mum, she's a prime example. She never ran. I got to run the London Marathon when she was 54. And she started off by doing well, she couldn't run. She couldn't run to more than 2 minutes. And she'd never enjoyed at school. She just persevered and we just built it up. So we'd do walk, jog, walk, jog, walk, jog. And then I remember I'd have some pads and have her hitting some boxing pads. I wasn't always the most patient instructor with my mum. I think when it's somebody close to you, you're less patient. You say, like, come on, you can do it. And you just sort of bark orders rather than being a bit more, you know, empathetic with people. With parkrun, it's just brilliant because you've got people running, jogging, walking. You've got people running with the dogs, double buggies. Some people just go there just to walk it. They're not actually thinking that they're going to run it. And I think that's a really nice balance. It means that everybody's welcome, whatever age, whatever fitness ability. It doesn't matter. Everybody's always made to feel welcome and nobody comes last because there's always a tail walker. And if you really want to see what it's all about and you're kind of a bit apprehensive about going to a park run, which I used to be, it took me ages to build up the courage to go and join in my local park run because it's such a big one. Mm-hmm. And I realized that actually it's really easy. From registering, it takes 5 minutes, then you turn up. You don't have to speak to anybody if you don't want, you know. Some people just want
I
to
I think
go
Trish
along.
Is worried about people looking at her while she's running. I think you would be shy, wouldn't you, Trish?
Well, possibly, because I do tend to do the old solo exercise. I don't do sort of a lot of group stuff. So I think a lot of women would be, especially if they're just starting in midlife and maybe their confidence isn't where it is. They probably are self-conscious about how they look in their outfit. And if they have to, you know, for me, it's interesting what you were saying, Nell, about jog, walk, jog. You see, where I was probably going wrong was I was running and then I had to stop and I'd start walking and I'd give up and I think, well, obviously I can't run. But what you're saying is this, just do it in a way that it works for you. Yeah,
everybody's different. We can all put a lot of pressure on ourselves. You can compare so much to the people next to you. You think, oh wow, they're managing to do it okay, why can't I? But it's okay. And I think parkrun is a perfect example of being really inclusive to everyone. And then before you know it, you've started, and by 9:30 or 10 o'clock, you've finished and you've still got the day ahead of you. You're in a better mood, a better frame of mind. You feel happier. You feel more positive. You've probably smiled at some point. I know you might have like grimaced and like puffed and panted your way around. But sometimes just good to smile.
I'm going to take little Trish running. She'll like this.
Should.
So we're the same height. We'll be the same. It'll be fine.
I like the idea. Yeah.
Now you are in midlife. We are all in midlife. We're older than you, obviously.
I don't feel it though. I feel like, do you know what I mean? I still feel like really young.
Yes, yeah. Well, that is the nature of it, unfortunately. So your felt age versus your real age is obviously decades apart. But how has midlife gone for you? How has your perimenopause and or menopause been? What has been that journey for you as an athlete and a mum and a busy person?
Well, I'm always a bit cloudy. So is that a symptom? Although I've been a bit like that for about 15 years, I think. So it has got worse, definitely. To be honest with you, I think I just dash about that much that I don't really think about it. I'm aware of it, obviously. I'm aware that my body's going to change. You know, my hormones are changing, everything. But it's just a case of I feel like I'm just going to plow on through it. And I remember like when my mum had, she used to have really bad hot flushes. So I've sort of seen her, you know, like, go through that and speaking to her about it. I do flush up much quicker these days. Mm-hmm. So that's probably a start and a good symptom to go by.
Have you
by
changed
as well.
Your routine then, your fitness routine? Because you must have noticed changes in your overall fitness as you've aged through your 40s, mustn't you?
It's definitely recovering. I feel like recovering is taking a bit longer, maybe probably more achy. Sleep patterns a bit rubbish at the moment, but that's probably because as well I lay in bed and then I end up Googling things, you know, when everybody's in bed asleep. I'm just going to go with it. It's an unknown. Nobody knows how their body's going to be and how you're going to feel. But at the moment, I just feel like if I just think of it as a day at a time rather than over worrying about what's something that might not happen, because I have done in the past constantly, like I worry, I'm a bit of a worrier naturally, where I'll worry about people around me or family. So I just want to really just go with the flow. And I think if I feel more calm and relaxed, most importantly, keep moving and keep exercising. I've not been doing as much strength lifting weights recently, But I don't think that's done me any harm. I would like to pick that back up a bit. Maybe not quite as much as heavy, you know, as what I was lifting before, but just
you were a beast.
You're a beast.
I've like seen your lifting giant thing. I mean, I expect you to just like move the car out of the way when you leave in the morning.
I'd love that though. I've always wanted to enter a strong woman competition because, again, it's I know that they're really inclusive and you don't have to be like the strongest there. It's about taking part, and I've just love it. You know, like a big tire or a big sandbag, or to me that's just brilliant. You know, getting a big Atlas stone up from the floor, up to your shoulder. It feels so good. I can't, you've got to try it. Feeling strong in a way fuels feeling strong mentally. That's how I work. Apparently, vitamin D is the most common supplement for perimenopause. So I thought that actually that's another good reason, you know, to get outside as much as possible. Yeah. And I think that's another thing that I'm really going to focus on over the coming years.
Yeah. Being in tune with yourself, I think, is the most important thing. So that's,
yes, being kind to yourself and not comparing with other people, which is easy said than done, you know, especially on Instagram and social media.
Well, it took me ages when I was running not to keep comparing my times and just, you know, feeling a failure with myself. And in the end, I just stopped with all the gadgets and thought, I just want to be outside. So I might make 1K, I might make 2, I might make 3. Who knows what's going to happen? And I think we are Gen X, are quite competitive. Like, you know, and there's a real mindset shift between doing it because it makes you feel great and doing it to achieve a time. Or, you know, that's, I think that little element sometimes puts women off, that they've got to do 5K. Well, it doesn't really matter how far you go most of the time, just being outside is great.
I've realized that sometimes I've been my worst enemy by putting extra pressure on myself by trying to maintain, you know, 7 minute miles every time I go out for a run, when actually it's okay not to do that and just to step back and maybe not even run that day.
If you were, again, for our listeners and maybe women who aren't as kind of into exercise but are trying and starting, what kind of goals could they be looking at? What could they be thinking about doing?
I think not aiming too high. You know, so you're not going to go out and sign up for the marathon. That would be a huge challenge and really time consuming, which is probably something that you don't have a great deal of if you've got family commitments and work commitments. Parkrun, it kind of really fits into a lot of people's lives really easily without too much pressure, because you can dip in and out. It's free. You just turn up. It doesn't matter if you run, walk. But I think it's just allowing yourself to have time sometimes to just go for a walk. Even everybody's so different, it's really hard to say this is what you should do. Everybody's needs are different.
So lots of small goals, incremental, just don't aim too high, just do an extra 10 minutes today, or do lift 1 kilo extra, or just lots of little small ones rather than big long-term goals.
Yes, because otherwise I think you're just setting yourself up to feel disappointed and a bit rubbish and just a bit of a failure, when actually you're not a failure at all. You know, everything that you're doing is better than nothing. Just focus on what you did do. You know, you'll never do everything, or even break your day into sections rather than thinking of it as just a disappointing day. Think, well, actually, I didn't manage to do that this morning, but I've still got this afternoon. I might be able to do that later today or this evening. So don't write it off straight away because you've not done it at that particular time that you normally do it at. Maybe see if you can like work around and just be flexible. I think that's really important. And that's what I've learned as a parent. I've got to be flexible and just drop things, drop of a hat, because, you know, it's sickness or illness, or I've just got to be flexible and just go with the flow. And
I think you're right. It's flexibility, adaptability, especially with kids, because you just don't know what's coming next, and spontaneity as well. And just thinking, if you have got 20 minutes, right, I'm going to go and do something now, rather than always having to think of it as being planned in, which I think is really...
Wear Lycra as much as possible, and then you're always kind of ready.
Just ready to go, Nell.
Can we talk about your Lycra? Because you, see, you were a model... Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous. You have had the most amazing career, actually, and you've really kept your body. It's so lovely to look at you on Instagram, because you must be about 9'5", aren't you, or something like that. Your legs are just so long. Over the years, though, so your body has changed, your face has changed. Have you felt that pressure to look amazing, and how have you dealt with the image and your image? Because we all kind of go through that, especially when we look back at pictures of us all when we're 19 or 20. How has that affected you? you've been in the public eye and you're photographed all the time. You're off to be photographed this afternoon.
Well, this afternoon is good because it's running. It's all about running. So I can look a bit hot and sweaty. I can look a bit, you know, dishevelled. That's my normal look anyway. So that works for me. But yeah, I probably shied away a little bit because I don't want to have that extra pressure. You know, I don't need to feel like, oh, I've got to look perfect, because I won't look perfect. I am ageing. I have got grey hair, more lines. You know, I have got sagging skin and, you know, my neck. I'm seeing the different texture of skin.
Yeah.
You know, and just things like that. I just want to be able to be relaxed and happy rather than feeling a pressure to have to look a certain way for other people.
Yeah.
And feeling that it's okay to look older, because that's what's happening. And everybody's getting older, everybody's aging. That's how I deal with it, I think. You know, exercise really gives me that more positive mindset of where people don't, they don't care. They're more interested in what trainers you've got on or what time you did in marathon than how you're looking. I mean, you could look a real sweaty mess and they probably still want to give you a hug and just say, oh, well done.
What do you feel when you look back on those pictures, though, the covers? And because you did a Playboy cover, didn't you, I think? Or
I did. I went to amazing Bora Bora. I was flown to Bora Bora and I remember being there and feeling like it was amazing, but I didn't have anybody close to share it with. But at the same time, I felt really fortunate that was happening. Sometimes I think I'm having to deal with that as I've got older, because obviously now I've got a family of my own. That can like resurface in a different way. You don't think of that when you're younger, when you've got all these opportunities. So now I'm thinking, sometimes I've been a bit cringy about it all, you know, like, oh, I can't look at them, you know, because it just feels so long ago. And that was just when I was young, and you seem a bit more carefree and you don't think about what's going to happen, you know, like when my daughter's older and she sees pictures and says, well, but, you know, why did you do a picture like that, mum? And I'm trying to say to her, don't go out wearing that outfit. You know, I want you to make sure that you know, it's all going to come back to haunt me over the years.
Oh, I don't think.
But then also I've realised that I think after having taken a step back a little bit, especially with lockdowns and having more time to think about things, that's part of me, and it's just part of my life. And everybody goes through the life either making mistakes or doing things that they maybe wouldn't choose to do now, but it's kind of made me the person that I am now, and I've got to embrace them more than cringe about them and be proud of them more than feeling embarrassed about them. I think it's because also at the time, you know, Dad was painter and decorator working on building sites, you know, and you just think, I obviously didn't think about the impact that it might have had on other family members, not just me. There's so much more into it now, but obviously you don't know that when you're younger, you don't think about it as much. You just think, wow, I've got this opportunity. I'm going to get paid really well. I'm going to see the world. I'm going to meet amazing people. My goal was always just to keep earning a living. You know, that was my goal, was just to get a good job, you know, so that I could make sure that I could pay my rent and pay my bills. And they're still in a box. All that pictures are just in a box, you know, just
But it was very much of a moment, wasn't it? It was a sort of that whole 90s time. I think it's changed obviously so much for women, but we say that, but then we have things like Love Island now, which everybody's looking at. I mean, that's probably the equivalent, isn't it, of the sort of that era, really, I suppose. But I mean, I think, you know, it's amazing that your body is such this strong tool that you use in your life, and it's incredible in what you do with it, your strength, your power, your running, the money that you raise. That's obviously a really important element for you, isn't it? And the charities that you work with as well.
Yeah, it's been a massive driving force for me, actually, to keep me motivated, because it must be nearly 20 years that I've been supporting Cancer Research UK. And I remember my dad had cancer. He was diagnosed with T-cell non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, fortunately, and he's in remission still, you know. But at the time when he was diagnosed and he had to have a large tumour removed and undergo chemotherapy, he was given a 50-50 chance of survival. So to keep supporting charities where you really feel passion, it's just so important to just try and keep supporting whenever you can, I think. And especially when you've seen the outcome, that if it wasn't for all the research, my dad wouldn't be here today. But in some ways, years ago when I was doing all the photo shoots and everything and working with all the magazines, I remember I used to say to people, well, if you can sponsor me, you know, then I'll do that job. Or they'd give part of a fee to a charity. Or so I was always trying to work it in so that I could get extra support for the charities at the same time. And then going on I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here, all the money raised from the phone lines, from the votes, I chose Cancer Research UK for that as well. So I know that thousands of pounds were raised. It probably went on to over 100,000 in the end, because then they were selling DVDs. I mean, DVDs? It's like,
what was that experience like? I mean, we watched it as a family. You came across as so warm in that.
I was just really shy, I think, you know, just because I felt that all the characters in there were so out there. I mean, you've got Darren Day bursting into song every 5 minutes by a campfire. And I would have never done that. I'd have been like, I'd love to. It must be great to feel that confident. But I've never really been a particularly confident person, as you know, such with people that I maybe don't know very well. I'm better in small groups or just one-on-one. I was always just wanting to sit back and watch, see how it was all working, because none of us knew when we did it. It was the first one. We had nothing to go by. We didn't know what was going to happen. It was such an unknown. They wouldn't tell us anything. And I remember thinking that it was going to be quite challenging, you know, physically challenging. Mm-hmm. And I know Nigel Benn thought that as well. So yes, we were both ready for action. We were going to go into beast mode at any given moment. But actually, we had to sit around most of the time. That was harder for me than having to go off and do a challenge, because I'd much rather be busy, hands-on, doing stuff than just sitting around doing nothing. And I think that's why some of them fell out and got a bit irritable. And there was quite a lot of arguments, you see. And I'm not an actually argumentative person. And I remember they were arguing about chicken breasts or something. I was like, especially when you grow up in a big family, there's always people falling out. So I just thought, well, that's up to them. I'm not getting involved.
What about your husband? What about Paul? Is he into this whole fitness thing, or can you wrestle him to the floor?
No. He doesn't understand why I'd ever want to run a marathon. I did get him to do a 10K once years ago, him and his friend. And I think he really enjoyed it, but he's not done one since. Oh. But he did used to go to the gym. He's not really into that. I think he would secretly like to get back into it, but I've just got to try not to be too pushy, and because then he won't want to do it at all. Yeah. Will he?
I do worry about you, Neil, sometimes when I'm looking at you on Instagram and I'm seeing you lifting those heavy weights. And I'm just thinking, because I've got a bit of a weak back, and I'm thinking, oh my God, you're back. How do you stay safe, and have you had any injuries?
Yes, but not very many injuries, because I'm really sensible, and I think you get to know your own body and you know what you feel comfortable lifting. And especially when you're doing like deadlifts or, you know, you're lifting something heavy, it's really important to engage your core. You know, you really need to make sure that you're not just like slumped over something and then, you know, all your back all curved over. You want to make sure that your shoulders are back and your knees are soft. You're going to lift it properly. And I think that's a good thing about, if you are used to exercising and lifting weights, then you will naturally lift something better, in good form rather than not. And also you're doing it more regularly. So I think it's more a case of when you're trying to lift something much heavier than you've lifted before is when you'll get injured.
Can I ask about knees now and running?
Oh, my knees feel great, yeah.
Well, as we get older though, I think the knee injury is the one that comes up the most. If you go and you do run or you do exercise and you hurt afterwards, what do you advise people to do? Because I think in midlife, you know, that those joints aren't so strong, the muscles are not as attached as they were, your collagen is decreasing, all of that. I mean, I guess it's building up slowly, and if you feel a twinge, take a break, and downtime is important, isn't it, when you've got an injury?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So many people try and just carry on when they've got injuries. And I'm like, oh, no, I think you might just need to rest that. I think that's probably the only thing that you need to do, and then let it recover properly. But magnesium, I've found, is great for muscles. Magnesium spray. So sometimes if I've got my hamstrings are really tight, and sometimes I'll just spray that on a night. And I have found that it really eased. Actually helped sleep a little bit as well, soaking in a magnesium bath. But I think rest definitely is best.
And you mentioned obviously food, we know how important that is in lifestyle, and you've said that quite often if you're training hard, exercising regularly, quite often, I mean, I feel this sometimes, I just don't have the energy. And is it because I'm not eating enough, I'm not eating the right things?
It's happened a few times where you'll overhear conversations and people are discussing, they might just have a salad and then they're going to this class, and you think, no, you really need to make sure that you're fueled, you're hydrated, otherwise you might get to your Zumba class or whatever you want to do, and you're going to feel a bit dizzy. If you're dehydrated, you're more prone to injury. Food is fuel, and you know, if you wouldn't go outside and expect to drive up the road with no fuel in your car. So, and it's just the same with your body, and that's how I always think of it, that if you've eaten well and drunk plenty of fluid, you know, water, then you will run better. You know, you'll work better. It's just, to me, that's the only way to go. And the times when I'm not as good at, with my eating, or, you know, I have a couple of glasses of wine or something, I just feel sluggish and just rubbish, really. It might have felt good at the time, but actually, you pay for
it's a balance.
But you pay for it more. I mean, like, one glass of wine is just my maximum. To think of having a hangover just fills me with dread, because I think it'd take me days, weeks to get over.
Yeah, definitely. That's another midlife joy, isn't it? Not being able to drink anymore.
You can cope with a late night easier. So that's my advice. Yeah. If you've got a late night where you've got to, like, I don't know, go and meet people from work, or especially leading up to Christmas, make sure you drive so that then you just drink water, a soft drink maybe, go wild.
And it makes a difference, doesn't it, I think, the reduction of the alcohol. I know it's a boring thing to say to all our midlife listeners, but it gives you a bit of your day back the next day in a way, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah, it does. And you can remember everything that happens you know.
Conversations. I can never remember anything. I'm like, well, I know that person told me something really interesting and I can't remember.
Yeah, it's just, it's amazing how it affects your skin, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like my skin's just really dull and just even more aging.
That's the sugar.
Yeah, sugar. It's sugar, so you can see you'll go puffy, you know, around your eyes. And so the more water that you can drink, the better, really.
What happens next for you then? So what are your new projects? What's coming up?
I'd love to do an Indian head massage course, or just do more yoga. I'd love to do more yoga or a yoga course.
Well, yoga's good for you, isn't it? That's very... a good balance, really good for running, because of the stretching afterwards.
So I'm thinking, if I do a short course just to get me started, that's what I'd like to do.
I, for one, would pay £1,000 for an Indian head massage from Mel the Candy, I can tell you that.
Definitely.
Yeah, just open our minds to doing more calm things rather than running around like.
Yeah.
Now, a little bird tells us it's your birthday this weekend.
It is, yeah, 48.
Happy birthday, 48. How are you going to be celebrating? With a run? With park run?
Well, guess what? My birthday falls on Saturday, so I'm going to go and do parkrun. And then, because I've not had a chance to do anything for so long, since everything's got opened up again, I feel like I've let so many other things go that I'd got into. So I'm going to go back to doing some mace bell, like a workshop that's at 10 o'clock as well. And it's just like a weighted, it's got a globe on the end that's weighted on there, like
a bar.
I've
seen that on your Instagram. And it's amazing.
And it's really good for your shoulders and for your posture. So I thought, I've not committed to it fully yet. He has sent me email out with the Zoom link and everything. I'm like, oh, shall I just commit? And I'm
what's
thinking,
it called now?
Mace bell.
Oh,
so you wave it around, but it really
opens it hurts
up.
Just to do that for me.
But you see, so like now when you put your elbows up, it's to try and make your elbows go up and back. So then it's loosening all your shoulders. It's so
swimming.
Good. Mm. So that, and it's good for your grip as well. Grip's really important as we get older.
Come on, something that is fun, but something more fun.
Will there be champagne?
Champagne, cake,
surely.
Presents.
I might have to get myself one of the ones, little mini bottles for one.
Oh.
I think I might treat myself. Go wild.
Go wild.
Yeah.
Oh, well, listen, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us. Honestly, it's so inspiring, and we love watching what you're doing on Instagram and all the energy that you bring, and the smiling. Your smile, Nell, is just a joy, I have to say. It really is to behold. So thank you very much.
Thank you
so much. I will look forward to finding out when you get to parkrun, by the way. I'm sure you've got a local one nearby.
Yes,
I'm taking her. Well, she was absolutely lovely, wasn't she?
Oh,
I want an Indian head massage from her. And I just think her attitude is so joyous about moving and going outside, isn't it? What did you think?
Oh, it is. And I just think, gosh, you know, I've always been fearful of running, and I'm still not convinced it's the exercise for me. But the idea, love the idea of the park run, because actually I go up to Wimbledon Common sometimes on a Saturday morning and they're doing the park run and there's so many people there. But what Nell was saying about the fact that, you know, some are walking, some are jogging, you've got people volunteering. It's a bit of community, isn't it? I like that, doing your exercise and getting a bit of community spirit going as well.
It's that thing that I often advise when I do these blogs about swimming. It's really finding your tribe.
Yeah.
You know, exercise isn't just about, you know, clocking up 20 minutes of getting covered in sweat. It's about finding your tribe at this stage of life. And one thing that we did during lockdown, I went with a friend of mine who's very much like you, doesn't really want mm-hmm. to be a runner, is not really into it, doesn't think it's her thing. But we decided we'd go and see the sunrise. So I said, if we put our lycra on, let's run to the park. And even if we're just jogging at a pace where we can talk, we're still getting some exercise. And then we'd watch the sunrise. And then I'd say, why don't we just run up that hill and then just break out in a bit of a sweat and raise our heart rate. And we did that two or three times a week. And the improvement on running from nothing is so quick. It makes you feel brilliant. And I mean, you might step out at some, I mean, I'm never going to run a marathon or a half marathon or anything ever again, because it hurts my knees. And it is quite a hard thing to do competitively, but just going out for a run with a friend is so joyous. And when you see Nell on her Instagram talking about her park runs, it just makes you want to put your trainers on.
It does as well. And I like the idea of small goals, and just the way that she just gives herself little small short-term goals rather than these big massive goals. So it could be that I just go and run up a hill one day, or that when I'm out for one of my power walks that I just run for 2 minutes or something. Whereas before, I was very much of the, you know, if you run, you've just got to run for 5 miles and that's it. And it's like, no, it just doesn't,
like Forrest Gump,
work like that. And then the other thing, I liked her food as fuel thing, because it is, you know, we've talked about this before. It's like, you know, food is not your enemy, is it? Food is something that you should.
You can't be losing weight and taking exercise at the same time. I mean, the two things, that's a ridiculous mindset. You can't be in two mindsets.
But it's the right food, isn't it? And the right fuel and the kind of staying hydrated. What for you stuck with what Nell was saying?
I think that idea of adding in a little thing, saying no, I think is really important as well. And the idea that you are going to berate yourself for doing a bad run or a bad exercise session without taking into account whether you've had any sleep, whether you've eaten the right food, whether you're under enormous stress. Certainly swimming, if you swim in cold water and you've had a terribly stressful day or a dreadful stressful time the time before, it really affects your metabolism. And, you know, lots of people will talk to me when we get out and we say, that was a terrible swim, I don't know why it was so bad. And then I'll hear them tell me about the awful thing that happened the day before, and I'll say, well, that was why it was so bad. You're under enormous stress, and then you put your body under more stress. So taking everything into account and being kind to yourself is what I took from that.
Just being in tune with your body and your mind and what's going on in your life, and joining the dots. We talk about joining the dots all the time, don't we, on things like the menopause, but it's joining the dots on ourselves, and as you say, how the impact of something that might have happened emotionally to us, you know, something with the kids or something, that how that might affect your exercise workout or how you feel about doing your exercise workout. I think that's rather interesting.
I'm going to take your little legs for a little run. We'll put it on our social media. We'll run to some biscuits. That'll motivate you.
Run to some biscuits. It's nostalgia noodle time. Now, Lorraine, I know you like to do a drum roll, but I'm just going to do a straightforward intro and ask you, what is your nostalgia noodle this week?
Boring. I'm fired. Oh, I'm going to have to get another co-presenter,
you
aren't
are.
I?
That good luck
do
with
a
that.
Drum roll. Now, my nostalgia
noodle. Who
could
put up with you? Yes, carry on.
Now, I thought I hadn't gone far back in time, but it turns out I've gone 40 years.
Oh, only the 40 years, only 40.
God's
right, go
sake.
On.
This week, Prince Charming, the third album by Adam and the Ants, was 40 years old. Can you believe that?
No. What? I can't believe that. Are you sure?
It's on the BBC Two website. So they know, don't they? They've put a picture of it up. It had, Stand and Deliver.
Yes.
And Prince Charming on it. We would have been, what would we have been, 13? Well, 14. I would have been 13, you would have been 14.
14. Do you remember the Prince Charming dance? Arms up, Prince Charming, like that, where you cross your arms up. People
you're
can't see this,
me.
So I shouldn't do
no,
that.
No, I am watching it. It's disturbing me. I saw him at some terrible place in Plymouth. But I find this age disturbing because it's 40 years ago. But Adam Ant lives near us.
What? Really? Does
and
he?
There's a yes, and there's a little hairdresser, and it's a very nondescript hairdresser. It might be very good. And it's a hairdresser, not a barber.
Yes.
And I was walking past and he was in there having his hair cut.
Wow.
And I was thinking, God, if I'd been that 14-year-old, 13-year-old in my case, I'd have been hysterical to be that close to Adam Ant. Yeah. Absolutely hysterical. And as it was, I just walked by and I didn't really know how to deal with that. But that's how it is,
but
isn't
did
it?
He have the, he probably didn't have all the makeup on and all the, you know, I mean, how did
no,
you
Trish,
recognize him?
Because it was 40 years ago.
Well, exactly. He must be quite old now. And how brilliant. He's got some hair to have cut. That's fantastic. A lot of men don't at that age.
Well, exactly. Yes, I do see him on the high street. We saw Paul McCartney once on the high street as well. That's quite exciting. I recognised him too.
But I
can even manage to name drop without.
Yes, exactly. Honest to goodness.
But there he was, Adamant, having his little things trimmed. What's your nostalgia noodle?
Well,
where have you been?
Mine is a man as well, but it could be, I think it's even older than yours. It's do you remember the Green Cross Code man? The very tall man. The reason I was thinking about him was because obviously I'm not teaching my children how to cross the road anymore. But I was doing some dog handling, training the dog to cross the road.
Handling.
Not training the dog, but just doing some good, you know, sit. And then it just, I don't
but
know.
But the
why
dog's not a puppy, Trish. I've met her. She's quite capable of crossing the road. She can probably do it on her own.
But you're always mindful, aren't you? And I'm sort of getting her to sit and stop and all
of that. You are, if you're a boss pants.
I'm not just going to let her fly out into the road. But anyway, it brought up the Green Cross Code man for me. So I obviously did a little Google and watched some of those films from the 70s. And they are quite something to behold. They're very entertaining because I don't know whether you remember the kind of premise of them. So he's in this big superhero outfit with a big green cross on his front. And as you say, he's a very big, big, tall, strong man. And he's basically sort of sitting in what essentially is a CCTV room with all these computer television screens.
Watching children. That's not right.
Not right, possibly now. Yes, exactly. Although obviously this is all pre-CCTV. And he then beams down when he sees a kid that's going to cross the road when they shouldn't. And it's quite funny because he beams down to this kid and says, "Where do you think you're going, Dumbo?"
Which is what everyone says to me when I open the door to go out dressed up.
Yes.
What my teenager would say to me. "Where do you think you're going, Dumbo?"
Yeah, couldn't be saying that to a small child on TV these days. And then the other stunning thing, just one more stunning thing about this, was the age of the children out running around, marauding around, walking down streets, going to ice cream. 6 or 7, I would say, at best. But that's what we did because we could in those days. And obviously, not a chance now. I don't think my kids were allowed to cross the road on their own until about 11 or 12.
No, well, we used to play in the road.
We played in the road, exactly.
On the estate.
And of course, you do know who the Green Cross Code man was, don't you? You should know. Well, I'm sorry, shame on you because you call yourself a Star Wars fan.
Oh, no.
It's Darth Vader.
It's Darth Vader, yes.
David Prowse. Yes, exactly. Yeah. There we are. Two for one nostalgia noodles there. I've given
Thanks,
two.
Trish. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's Postcard from Midlife. New episodes are available to listen to every Sunday on your podcast provider. And we would really appreciate it if you can make sure to download your episodes because these count on our listener numbers. And may we ask a small favour? Could you take a moment to review us, please? We've had some lovely reviews recently, and I especially like the one we had from Lucy, who called us snortingly funny. And she said she loved the podcast and wanted us to be her real-life friends.
Well, Lucy, we'd like to be your friend too. We are here for you. But please do share with everybody you know, all the midlife women, your friends. We'd all love you to join in this conversation, which is what our private Facebook group is all about too. So if you're not a member yet, do come on over and join in the chat.
Yes, and you can use it to post any feedback on the topics we discuss, as well as suggestions for other things you'd like to hear talked about, or celebrities and experts you'd like to hear us interview. Or you could email us at hello@postcardsfrommidlife.com or pop a little message on our Instagram account.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.